Go ahead and open the Bible to Luke chapter 8. And in 1886, in Georgia, they passed the prohibition laws in Georgia. And a young chemist named John Pemberton. Anybody know who John Pemberton is? He did. And so he invented Coca-Cola using cacao beans and cola beans, and marketed it as a soft drink in reverse to the hard drink being liquor. And that's where the soft drink term came from. And it was just kind of playing on the opposite sides of hard liquor. And he first started selling it in Georgia, right? And he was, you know, in grand ideas about what this was going to do. He mentioned one time, in 100 years, he felt that every person on the face of the earth would have tasted the soda that he created. Didn't quite make that. But as of today, the estimates of today through Coca-Cola says 51% of all the people living in the world today have tasted Coca-Cola. 72% have at least seen a can or a bottle of Coke. 97% of those polled said they haven't seen or tasted it, but they have at least heard of it. 97%. On the other hand, only 73% of the world today will say they have heard of Jesus Christ. Yeah. 73% versus 97% with Coca-Cola. Interesting. So one guy wrote and he said, I wonder what had happened if the first Cokes had tied a Bible to the bottle. So, you know, we've talked in here on multiple occasions about sharing the gospel with people. And I'll be the first one to tell you, as extroverted as I am, I have a hard time with it too. And it seems like to me sometimes it's much easier when you're with people, where there's more people there than just me. But it's not easy. I don't know. I mean, you could sit here and think of 1,000 different reasons why, but it's just not easy. Two people I've always been real impressed with that does it. I look so flowing is Wes and Joe, both of them. It seems like it just flows with those guys. And some people it does, and some people it don't. One guy wrote, he says, I wonder if Jesus' followers had the same questions running through their minds. So one thing I started looking at this morning, I thought about it so late, I didn't have time to go all the way through it. I don't know of anything in the Bible that talks about the disciples sharing Jesus before his crucifixion. Do you know of any?
Well, the only thing he really talks about is when he sends them out to, you know, he sends out the disciples, and he sends out more. Says, I think the first time he sends out the 12, and he says another place where they send out, but they don't say anything about sharing the message about him.
Yeah.
They're just going out to, you know, run out the demons and heal and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of the same way.
But they don't really.
They want the message till he was crucified.
Well, that's true also. Yeah. That's true also.
Yeah, something happened. They don't think they
talk
about him.
But it said they must have worried about times on what to say. Said if they were qualified to say it, how many people might react to them when they did say something. One day Jesus left the synagogue to go teach outdoors. He climbed the rough rocky into a rough rickety little boat, tied it to a stake, drifted out a few feet from the shoreline, and soon swarms of people on the beach had come to listen to him. And as they were listening to him, he told a parable. And this is a parable that we're going to look at today. And there's several versions of this parable on what it's called. And in Matthew, Jesus himself says, here's the parable of the sower. And it's been named the parable of the souls, the parable of the four soils, and then even in the New King James Version, you know how they titled each section, it's titled the parable of the sower. And I've heard lots of messages on this, and it talked about the people, you know, different people being the different souls, and whether you accepted it or something like that. And that's one of the things we want to talk about. In my email, one of the things that I want to draw attention to today was the sower. And in this case, it's Jesus. And we're going to look at how that affects us and the things that we do for evangelism. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit. But I want to go ahead and read this. And I'm going to read a good bit here because I want to get all the way down even when Jesus explained it, right? So this is Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to start with verse 4. So again, Jesus had got a bunch of people in. He even had the wife of one of Herod's servants was there with him at this point. Mary Magdalene was there, and there was a lot of others, Luke says a lot of others who provided his substance. So I'm assuming that's talking about people that provided food and provided other things for sheltering for Jesus and the disciples. So we'll pick up the story in Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered and they came to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. And he said, a sower went out and sowed his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and those thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then the disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said to them, to you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it has been given in parables, that seeing may not see, and hearing they may not understand. I got to go down a little bit. And now verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root, who believe for a while in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So Jesus has essentially told them that here we are, we go out, we spread this word, and he's talking about, you know, at this point, he's the sower, and he's the one spreading this word at this time. So you spread the word, and the word's received in different ways. I mean, how many people sat there and read that or heard me read that and you go, okay, I can relate to this, or I can relate to this, or I can relate to this one. I mean, I think we all can at some point or the other, and we can all understand that we've been one of those people, right? You know, and it's easy to understand when you've been that person, much easier, you know. It's always much easier, all right? So now let's kind of unpack this, and we're going to look at this message, and we're going to look at the applications to ourselves, all right? So Jesus began his story by saying, a sower went out and sowed his seed in verse 5. So without the sower, there's no parable, right? You got the people, the people's there, but without somebody to sow, there's no parable, there's no story, there's no spreading the word. So in this case, the sower is what he's really, you know, he's bringing to heart here. And he says, even though preachers tend to focus on the four types of soil, Jesus calls the parable a sower in Matthew 13:18, because it begins with him, the sower. The story is actually about Jesus himself. It's about Jesus coming into our world and sharing the message. So this is interesting. He said, the first thing we need to understand when it comes to outreach or witnessing, it's about Jesus. We don't share a religion. We don't share an ideology or a philosophy. We share Jesus. That's what we share is Jesus. We don't go talking about, well, now, you really want to come to the Baptist church because the Baptist church believes this and the Catholic church believes this. And, you don't want to go to that church. No, it's about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Not about the religion, not about us. We share Jesus. And he says, even though Jesus is sore in the story, each one of us who accepts Jesus as our Savior accepts the responsibility of becoming the sore in his field. True. That's true, right? D.L. Moody once told a story about this, and it's when I first read it, I thought, what's that got to do with this? But hear out the story. He said, it was a violent storm on Lake Erie and a dark, stormy night, Moody recalled. He said, when the rays rolled like mountains and a star could not be seen, a boat was nearing the Cleveland Harbor, rocking and plunging in the waves. Seeing the lighthouse, the captain called out to the pilot, are you sure this is Cleveland? Quite sure, sir. Where are the lower lights? The captain asked. Gone out, sir. Can you make the harbor? The captain inquired. He says, we don't have any other choice, sir. And says, with a strong, brave heart, the pilot guided the boat, but he missed. He crashed into it, and the entire crew was lost. And later on, this guy named Philip Bliss wrote a song about that, and says, let the lower lights be burning. And the song says, brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but unto us giving the keeping of the lights along the shore. And he said, Jesus may be the everlasting light, but we are no less the light of the world, guiding people to him. So, we have a requirement, and it's who was, I think it was Stan. I think it was Stan that told this one time, and he says, it's not the great suggestion, it's the great commission. So, you really should do this. He said, Jesus says, you will do this. And one guy I was reading, and I was told a story about, the author John Grisham. Well, John, I didn't know this, but he had written several books that ended up later on being, very top selling novels. And the novels wasn't getting anywhere. And he got in with a group of a book club in a real small town. And that book club got to reading his books. And they started posting things. This is when the internet was in its infancy, and they started posting things. And the next thing you know, John Grisham is a top author and has been since that point. And the guy I was talking about, he said it's the same way with sharing the Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily you got to do it in a great big fashion. You just got to do it. And when you do it and then people hear about it, then the word gets passed along. And the people that convert today are sores tomorrow. Oh, that was pretty good. Okay, so if you're willing to follow Jesus in the footsteps of Jesus, sow the seed of faith around you. You don't know what to say. Jesus tells us what to say. So let's look at this. The seed. When Jesus later pulls the disciples aside, he explains the meaning of the story, right? He said, this is what the story means. The seed is God's message. The seed is the gospel, the good news. And Paul even says this in Romans. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ. It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Guy goes on to write, and he says, when God's message of love and grace penetrates a believing heart, time and eternity are forever changed in that person. I thought that was interesting. But what God's message is to humanity, if witnessing to others involves sharing God's message, can you do that? If you just had 5 minutes to explain the good news of God's message, could you do it and know it, know what to say? So there's a lot of message for sharing. And I mean, it was interesting. If you Google the sharing of Jesus, there you get like 20,000 hits for the cards and the different ways to do it and the different things to say. And, Wesley has the band, and the different color bands. And Ronnie, when he goes out, he has the lure at the Bassmasters. So there's multiple different ways to share the gospels. And I think a lot of these things coming out now, I think are really good because it gives people that has a hard time sharing. And I think the more you share, the easier it gets to share. I mean, wouldn't you say so? I think, would you say that from when you first started feeding seed to now, it's much easier?
Oh, yeah. And the conflict that we were talking about the other day Linda was talking about it. The other Saturday, Peyton said, was talking about it. I said, yeah, the more you do it, the easier it is. Like anything else.
I think so. So this guy did one, the commentary that's based on this off, did one in this. And I thought this was pretty good. I never heard this one before. He said, when it comes to sharing God's message, explaining the gospel in a simple and concise way, he said, I use John 3:16. And he says, not only is it the most well-known passage, he says, but within the single verse, we discover the ways we need to know about good news and how it relates to us. He said, it begins with God and ends with life and urges us to do the same. He said, John 3:16 is the North Star of the Bible, 26 word parade of faith, love, hope. He said, if you're going to share God's message with an unchurched person who knows nothing about the Bible, that's a good place to start. And he said, first, God loves. The verse begins, for God so loved the world. If those words are true, it changes everything. Imagine what the world would be like without God's love, a dark planet hurtling through space, unguided and undirected. No hope, no future. But God loves us. He says, every blade of grass, every fountain, every birth, every child's face. Max Licuto said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. I thought that's pretty good.
They don't say it in school anymore. I remember, you know, we had to say them. We said it at school. We had the Pledge of Allegiance and
Unreal. And he says, and at the opposite side of the compass, God gives. John 3:16 says, God so much the world that he gave his one and only son. He said, that would sound strange to some people. So many people in the world respect the teaching of Jesus. They admire his example, but no matter how much they turn around, they can't see any significance in his death. But the fact is, we fall short of our shortcomings. Sin separated us from God, and that's where Jesus comes in. And he goes on to say, he determined to build a bridge with an old rugged cross. He gave himself. God gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to bring salvation to the world. Then he's using a compass. He said, on the west side of the compass, he said, we believe, so that whoever believes shall not perish. He said, no other religion promises what Jesus promised. Jesus calls us to do one thing, believe. It's not because of who I am, but because of who he is. It's not because of what I've done. It's what he did. And he said, finally, on the last point of the compass, we live. It says, John 3:16 promises whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. And he says, countless legends tell of a search for the secret to immortality, but the truth is it's right in front of us. Can you imagine what it would be like to walk beside God, to be surrounded by his glory, to stand in his presence? And just imagine exploring the depths of God's love. God loves, God gives, we believe, and we live. I thought that was a really good way to share the gospel. I have to remember that one. All right, so once you started to share the simple message and they're interested, point them to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he says, especially John. And he says, because John actually, you know, he opened up his gospel with, you know, I write these things so that you may believe. All right, so we come in, we become the seed, you know, we have the seed, which is God's word, we become the sower. Now let's look at the souls. And I thought this was really interesting. He said, Jesus says that it fell on the footpath of those who heard the message and only had the devil come in, take it from their hearts. And he goes on to explain all the different kinds of souls. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be a follower of Jesus. You know, and I know, you know, through Feed and Seed and through other areas of the, y'all see a lot of rejections when it comes to it. And, you know, I've always wondered, I never knew why before I was a Christian that I rejected it. I don't know why. I really don't know why.
You were a kid, you were a preacher.
Yeah, but I don't know why. I couldn't give you a reason today why.
You think it was because you had to change your lifestyle? That you were comfortable where you were at?
I think so.
You just think you didn't need it?
I don't know. Yeah.
It's like they say, you're in the dark. You just don't get it. You know, you get it with somebody really.
Faith hard to fall from.
I'm sorry.
Young and dumb.
Faith is hard to fall.
Yeah, it is.
It's something you don't see. Yeah. You know, we're asking you to see something that you can't touch, you can't see. You don't see Jesus. You know, you're not like something you will. per se watch happening in front of us. Something we just have accounts for the Bible, you know, until you believe. But I think once you believe and that Holy Spirit comes in you, then you start to realize what Jesus is doing you. You don't see this as a coincidence, or you don't see this as a circumstance.
Yeah, but your faith is growing when you believe that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, yeah, because you witness it into your own life. You do that. I think until you become a believer and you let that Holy Spirit live in your heart and you realize that all things leads to him, then I think that's one reason people don't get it, as I said, or darkness.
I think that draws one of the things that I know churches are doing a much better job of it now than they did way back when, several years ago. And I think there really needs to be a lot of focus on new Christians and helping them to get over the hump or whatever the right terminology is, because it's, I think we lose focus of what a change that truly is.
And what a challenge. Yeah,
a challenge. Oh, it's huge.
The challenge. I think we too, personally, with Feeding Seed, I think that's where we drop the ball right there. We go out and we witness to people, and we've had many occasions where people have come to believe and accepted Jesus Christ. And, you know, we're living through this prayer and we're all happy for them and everything. And then I probably never see them again. You know, we walk off and we invite them to church. We give them away and we give them a Bible and, you know, and stuff like that. We do what we can there at that moment. But then that's it. Yeah. I mean, we don't know where they go to.
I think that's a ministry that needs a lot of work pumped into it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's where we need to step up and follow through. You know, how you do that, I don't know, because a lot of these people have a tendency to disappear. Mm-hmm. You know, good example, we had a lady last Feeding Seed. I don't know if it was you or someone was talking about wanting to get back in church and needed a way to get in back in. And
I called her actually a couple weeks ago because her number was passed to me. And she said that something happened, which is the Satan, that her work schedule has been changed such that she can't go now on Sundays.
Yeah. So things like, you know, that happens. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is that we as a group.
Did we get the Uber account set up?
The
Lyft.
Yeah, he told her that.
Just call us that morning.
But you got to call me that morning. You can't call me 3 days ahead of time. You got to call me that morning because a lot of things happen with those three days, you know. Right now, her work schedule has changed or whatever.
The devil doesn't quit. He's trying to work on him anyway. You know, I mean, well, thank goodness that you can.
He wants him back.
So as we sow the seed, you know, just like the farmer in the parable, God allows his word to fall on many who won't receive it and yet still willing to pour out his grace upon them. And God knows the potential of the seed. One guy wrote, he says, Christians sometimes tend to pull back from those who are uninterested or even just different. God doesn't. In God's eyes, he'd rather be rejected 9 out of 10 times than to miss the one who would accept him. And I saw a poster, it's been a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember where I saw it at now, and it showed the doorpost with the blood on it and said, isn't it great that God don't open the door to see what kind of person's inside? So, interesting. Even as God's message to humanity will meet rejection more often than not, there's still honest, good-hearted people who will listen, are eager to hear about God's love and willing to put their faith in Jesus. And Ken R. Hunter is a author, and he wrote a book called Moving the Church into Action. And he says there are 6 major occasions when people will be more open to Christians who desire to share the love of God and the good news of Jesus Christ with them. These are interesting. He says, 1, when people move into a new community, so that's a great time to contact people. When people are changing jobs, careers, they're more open to other changes. People who have visited the church in the past and are open because they feel a familiarity with it. People who are friends of the new members are more receptive. People who have been helped by the church are more, you know, receptive. And economic difficulties tend to create a spiritual openness in people. So when people are down, they're more out. One guy wrote, he said, at times like these today, honest and a good heart is most fertile. He said, going right, he said, according to a national survey of people who are not regular church goers, was the word used, 15% said they would go to church if someone they knew invited them. 15% of them was all it said they'd go to church, but 15% is 15%. He said, that means you have to invite 10 people to get one. So all that means is a difference for time and eternity.
Yeah,
I think it's meant 1 in 15, right?
Yeah.
All right. So now then, so if we look at this parable from the sower side of the parable, and I think, you know, we would all agree, and we said earlier, we have been, we know people who are one of these different types of soils that the seed gets that's strode upon. And I don't know what the numbers are. I've never researched it, but I don't know what the percent of people that accept Christ the first time they hear the gospel. I'm sure that's a very small number. I'm sure it takes much more than one. But you know, being the sower is of great importance. And I think Jesus, you know, he gave this parable. And I look at it from the side, you know, if you're the sower and you're out sowing, you're going to run upon these four types of dirt. And you know, you sow your seed across, you hit these people, and success is going to be limited. You know, you're going to see some that rise up and wither back down. You're going to sow the seed out through there, and some people just don't care the least bit about it. And then you see this person that comes up and becomes fruitful in the word. And I don't know what the right word is, but it makes you feel good when you have that situation. You know, it does. It makes you feel, I don't think success is the right word, but it just makes you, you know.
Makes you feel like you're on a mountaintop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I remember my dad running revivals, and then when they would have revivals in the churches, they had two services a day, morning and night, for 7 days straight, and that's a lot. I mean, that's just a lot to attend church that much less have that many sermons done. But I remember the disappointment, you know, when no one during that whole week would give their life to Christ. You know, and even though, you know, it's a revival for the church too, you know, I think a lot of people and pastors all consider the success of it is how many people come to Christ. All right. So now as we close, I want to read this last part one guy wrote. And he said, so who do you know that you haven't invited to church? Who do you know that you've never shared the gospel with? God loves, God gives, we believe, we live. I thought that was four things really good. He says, it's really that simple. People need to know. We need to tell them. Let's sow some seeds together. And he says, if you haven't given your life to Jesus already, just know that God gave his one and only son that we could live forever. Apart from him, we die. With him, we live. Choose life. Choose Jesus. And I thought this was an interesting parable in that it's one of the parables that Jesus really explained to the disciples. And I think part of that was his teaching of what's going to come with them once they started their message. And, you know, you can imagine, you know, we talk about how many people you share the gospel with and you don't see results with it. Can you imagine sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews?
Right. And that's what he was talking about too, those people of that time too.
Yeah.
Didn't accept him for what he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, who he was. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had a lot of converts. Could you imagine how many people? Yeah. I mean, they got run out of town. They got beat. They got flogged.
You know. Yeah. You know, I think what ties in that parable too is you're talking about this sort. I always go back to this is one of the verses that always sticks out to me is Isaiah 55:11, that whenever God tells Isaiah, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That kind of goes with sowing those seeds.
Yeah.
We sow those seeds, it's going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. We're not doing it just on our own there, that he's already set forward what he's going to do. His word is going out. He's going to accomplish what he's sent out for. And he knows if we're going to accept that, or if you're going to accept that, and I was kind of soul you're going to put those seeds on. So that preacher that we used to go up to Calhoun and get the food from, he's the one, you know, we were talking one day, and I was kind of discouraged because we were going out, you know, and not having very many good results on our feeding seed as far as people coming to knowledge of Christ and things. And he sent me a text with that in there. And I've always remembered that it's not about us. You know, we're just doing what he says that we can't save anyone. But God's telling us that his word is always going to accomplish what he said about to do. For us not to worry about that he's in control of that word before it went to what he was going to do. Yeah. I think that's a good verse to remember.
It is.
Yeah. I'll have to record it.